Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
It's been a great radio show to this point. We're not going to mess it up any further. Nick Daschle of the Oregonian is going to join us here in a moment. He has had an in-depth conversation with the new president at Oregon State. I'm fascinated by this. F. King Alexander is the new man on the job at Oregon State. He came to Oregon State from LSU, and Nick Daschle is joining us now. I got to know, what was it like? What kind of guy are we dealing with here?
I don't think we talked for about 45 minutes or so, and we talked a lot of, on and off the record. Just he likes to talk about sports. I mean, he noticed in the background of my room that I've got a couple of Kentucky Derby posters from places, derbies I went to, and he's been to the race several times. He wanted to talk about that, and he's a sports guy. I mean, he played high school and college basketball. He played at a small school in New York, and he also played overseas for a couple of years professionally. Didn't, not at a high level, but he played a little bit. I mentioned to him, I said, well, it sounds like you were better than Dr. Fauci. He says, well, yeah, I'm a little taller. he said he told Wayne Tinkle that he invented social distancing because he never got within 6 feet of anybody on the floor playing defense. I don't think he's going to, I mean, why I came with, talking to him was, I don't think he's going to, cheat athletics. I think he's going to pay attention to it. He's interested in it. Like I said, he's been there. He's, it means something to him. He knows what it does at the highest levels, having been at LSU. One of his high school basketball teammates is the AD at Stanford. His mother, she helped start women's sports at the University of Florida back in the early 70s. So, I mean, he's pretty invested in sports.
Generally, when you see something like that, you get somebody who understands the value of sports. And I think that's all sports fans and sports media can ask for when you talk about a president and a chancellor. But I'm interested in, he was at LSU where football ruled, and now he's at Oregon State where, football wants to rule, but it hasn't mattered like it of course does at LSU. How can, did he talk at all about how that might, his experience at LSU might help him at Oregon State?
Well, we talked about, some of the differences between LSU and Oregon State, and I think he feels more comfortable in this environment. He just feels like he got a little bit more perspective out there. I mean, it's not that he, didn't enjoy it at LSU. He just thought they were just so into football and it matters so much and they spend so much money on football that maybe it's a little out of whack there. So I think he's a little more comfortable in this sort of environment. I asked, one of the things he mentioned, one of the big differences between LSU and Oregon State is Louisiana is all LSU. It's just, and this state is obviously divided between Oregon and Oregon State. So that's a pretty big difference when it comes to, pressure on the teams and whatnot. We talked for quite a while. He is definitely, concerned about spending in college athletics. Without getting into a lot of it, because I'm going to have a big piece on Monday on Oregon Live and the Oregonian. But he believes there should be some sort of federal intervention in regards to spending on colleges. He just thinks it's out of hand. And he's afraid that he's afraid the Oregon States and the Washington States and a lot of the lower halves of all the conferences are just going to get left behind by a handful of schools and because they're just spending so much money. He doesn't have any problem spending money on certain facilities, but he was definitely down on spending too much on locker rooms. He thinks we got to get a handle on the coaching salaries. He's definitely when it comes to TV, he thinks they have way too much power, and it's something that the presidents need to look at because they can't he doesn't believe they should be able to dictate the time of game for everything, and he thinks that's just the colleges should have some say in that. Because I did mention to him, I said, Oregon State, they're concerned about the evening kickoffs, and he said, that's the exact opposite of LSU. They want every kickoff at 7 o'clock. He said, when the TV came in and put an 11 o'clock kickoff down, they practically wanted to burn the house. The fans practically wanted to burn the house down because they just don't want that early kickoff. So, but he thinks that's something that needs to be changed. Is the TV, at least address the TV's influence on all the kickoff times.
We're talking to Nick Daschle of the Oregonian. He talked with F. King Alexander, the new president at Oregon State. The SEC fans were mad at what you posted. What happened there? Why were they mad?
Well, I thought it seemed like it was about 50-50. I mean, some of them, a lot of them seemed to agree with Dr. Alexander, does anybody really want to be told they're not dealing in reality? That's part of it, we've talked about this before, but it's just shameful how the Power Fives couldn't come together on all this. I mean, it's just shameful. Well, why are they all fractured? And it seems like the information should be the same with every conference. And I don't know how these other conferences like the SEC haven't come to this conclusion that, health wise, it just doesn't seem like it's in the cards for at least the fall, and I don't perhaps this whole school year.
Did he speak directly to that? I mean, his quote was, "I saw you out on Twitter. I don't want to misquote him here, but essentially that the Pac-12 presidents were dealing in more in reality."
Well, he doesn't understand. Like for example, he kind of focused on Florida because that's where he grew up, is in Gainesville, and he talked about how the positive numbers there are just outrageous, and they just don't have any problem going back to bringing kids back to campus and starting football. And LSU, I think their coaches have been in their office ever since May, and he talked about the positive numbers in Baton Rouge. He says there's more positives in Baton Rouge than the whole state of Oregon. So, he did talk a lot about the political pressure down there. It is significant, which is something we're not dealing with quite as much here in regards to athletics. That is a big factor down there.
Nick Daschle of the Oregonian covers Oregon State. The big question, Scott Barnes was on this show earlier this week. He said football's like a $50 to $60 million hit. You've got a new president on the scene. How much, how chaotic is that? How uncertain is that within the Oregon State program?
Oh, I mean, it's chaos everywhere. I don't think it's just Oregon State. I got the impression he likes Scott Barnes. He's done his homework on Scott. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, the AD at Stanford is a friend of his, and he says he's talked to a number of people at Scott. And he thinks he's the right guy, and he just said this is a tough time. And when I asked him about how they were going to get their way out of the budget deficit this year, he immediately talked about having to borrow to make up the difference. And I mean, it was kind of interesting. He went right to that. So I think he knows that Scott's got a tough job right now, and I think he's going to try to help him as much as he can. But I don't get the impression there's chaos there. In terms of, Scott wondering, if the new president's got his back. I definitely think he's got his back.
Daschle, the season ticket holders at Oregon State are now sifting through the offer that Oregon State made to fans. Three options, as I understand it. Option one is get your season ticket credit for next season. It just credits forward. Option two, you donate your commitment for tickets to the athletic department, and possibly that's just a write-off. Option three is you donate a portion of it. There are no refunds. Is that unusual? Is anybody offering refunds? Do you understand where they're coming from?
Washington is offering refunds, I saw today. I don't know. Is Oregon? I thought Oregon was doing the same thing with credits. It's something I haven't talked at length with Scott about, but I was going to talk to him next week about it. I don't know the answer to that. I think more schools are leaning toward asking for the season tickets to be donated if you feel that way, or take it as a credit. I don't know that a lot of schools are offering offering refunds of the entire purchase price. And I don't really have a good answer on that one as far as whether that's a good thing or not. These guys, they're in a tough spot right now. There's not much doubt about it. Not that they're not responsible for some of this too. I mean, they are, but you got to come up with ways to generate revenue right now when there's not a lot of options.
I'm looking at new president, uncertain times with sports, of course. Did you leave the conversation with a good feel? Is this a positive for sports fans at Oregon State? Is it neutral? Is it negative? What was your overall sentiment?
I think it'll be different than Ed Ray. He's really interested in sports. I mean, like he told me, he's planning on being on the scout team for the women's basketball team. He said he's at LSU too. He worked out with the women's team, and he plans to shoot around with the men's team, and he'll go to a lot of events. He was going to go to the Oklahoma State game if had there been one. He'll be involved, and he likes to talk to students. And I don't get the impression he's going to be totally hands off when it comes to athletics. I think he'll be supportive. I don't think he's going to be dictate too much stuff unless it's necessary, such as hiring of a coach. I did ask him about some things about how Oregon State can compete in this environment where they're going up against schools that are spending two to three times the amount of money, and he said that the key thing will be hiring coaches, and the second key thing will be keeping the good ones. And at this point, I think you'd have to feel pretty good about most of the coaches at Oregon State. So at this point, they have to figure out how can we keep these guys.
Nick Daschle, you're the best. I appreciate you making time. Read Nick Daschle on Oregon Live and follow him on Twitter. Thanks, Daschle.
All right, we'll see you.
All right, there it is. Nick Daschle joining us. Sherry in Portland's called in. Sherry,
Hi,
what's up? What's going on?
Hi, John. Oh, not much. Happy Friday to everybody. I just was listening to Nick's interview. He's always a great interview, but as a season ticket holder for the Oregon Duck football team, we did receive a letter earlier this week from Rob Mullins, and you have three choices on your tickets. You can ask for a credit to the 2021 season. You can ask to, they also ask to reinvest, and then there also is a request for a partial or full refund.
Okay, so you got the same thing that Oregon State's doing. What are you going to do?
Actually, my husband and I were actually thinking about probably trying to reinvest it, a portion of it, back to the school, and then crediting the remainder of it for the 2021 season. Because we realize that everybody's struggling right now, and we're fortunate during this pandemic that we're still working.
Yeah, and I think that leaves an option. You feel good about it. It ends up being a possibly a tax write-off, depending on how you use it or how they frame it. And ultimately, that's a good thing. Sherry, thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Uh-huh.
All right, there's Sherry calling in. See? Ask a question, get an answer. You're going to get spooky here in a minute. Clyde Lewis, Ground Zero, next. I was going to play around here. I can't do it, but Clyde Lewis is in studio back downtown. I know he's in studio because, Clyde, I can see the computer monitor in front of you.
He just scared the hell out of me. I just got on your computer, and all of a sudden it started taking over on its own. I'm like, oh, my God, what's going on? I was so scared.
I typed in, I am watching you.
That's the funniest damn thing ever. I'm
dying. How you doing, man?
I'm dying. Hi, I'm okay. How are you?
We've got Clyde Lewis. Man. He is host of Ground Zero. You can listen to him on our sister station. And, of course, we pull him onto this show every once in a while. We were talking about ghosts. Alabama Adriana told a ghost story. She said she believed a house she lived in was haunted. This must come up all the time. This is like a Tuesday on your show.
Yeah, I mean, there are different aspects to ghosts and haunting. There are poltergeists, of course, which are mean ghosts. And then you're dealing with other spirits that sometimes are hanging around because they have unfinished business or they want to get a message out to the living. And then, of course, I was looking up the Chimera, which, of course, there's a German version called the Mordgeist, which are the guardians of the dead. And some of them are, the Mordgeist are kind of like the idea that they are the guardians of heaven, or they're the guardians of the gates, so to speak, that usually if you try to contact the dead, the Mordgeist are the wardens of the spirit world, and they'll try to tell you, no, you're not going to contact or talk to anybody. And so you kind of have the wardens of the spirit world. You have Chimera, which basically watch over the dead. A number of different spirits are involved.
You can listen to Clyde on FM News 101 KXL, our sister station. You started your program originally in Salt Lake City, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the same now that it is then? How much has it evolved over the years?
Well, it's evolved because, back then, I was Crazy Clyde telling crazy stories. Now I'm pop culture, which is a different type of feeling. It's the idea that, when people tune in, they want a different perspective. And this, now that the government has said that they're investigating UFOs and that there's, off-world vehicles that they have in their possession. I mean, we've been talking about that for some time with Roswell and Area 51, and now, it's mainstream news. I mean, if the New York Times, does a story on it, obviously it's the paper of record, and people tend to, believe it if it's coming from a source like the New York Times.
Years ago, I went to cover the Kentucky Derby, and I was in Louisville. I had nothing to do. It was overnight, and I went to the Waverly Hills Sanatorium.
Mm-hmm.
It, for people who don't know, it was a tuberculosis hospital that was built in the early 1900s, said to be haunted. Are there places like that you believe, or that it's been documented, that just paranormal stuff happens in hot spots?
Dahmish. I was actually in the tunnels of Dahmish, believe it or not. They got me into the tunnels to do some investigating, and they're pretty haunted. I don't even know if they still exist. I know that some of the remains of Dahmish exist, but I've always heard they're going to raise it and turn it into something else. But when you have places of a lot of tension and a lot of tragedy and trauma, for some reason they put some sort of a spiritual indentation in the area. I'd say it's electromagnetic, if you will. I mean, whenever trauma happens, I think there's electromagnetic, ghost or at least an imprint, the indelible imprint, kind of like an ink blot, where this is where something happened, and yes, there are hauntings going on here. I mean, to this day there are people who say that the flight that came down over Pennsylvania, the crash site, that there are security guards. Back at 9/11, there's security guards that to this day are watching the site, and they say sometimes people come and knock at the door and they say, "What do I do now?" And they're standing there with their luggage. And I don't know if that's the brain playing tricks on people, or if there really is some sort of a dimensional you know, shake up or ripping apart of the time dimensional, you know, continuum or whatever to allow ghosts to come in. See, even though I've been on a lot of ghost hunts and a lot of investigations, I'm not convinced that any ghost apparition or EVP or anything like that proves life after death. I think what it does show us is that there may be another dimension somewhere where, you know, the spirit of someone or the essence of someone resides. And sometimes it can be seen. And I think that maybe they see us as well. I mean, imagine you being a ghost in another timeline. It's conceivable.
Clyde Lewis, Ground Zero is the show. Sister station, KXL FM News 101. Clyde, we got a couple minutes here, but let's say someone thinks their house is haunted. How do you get rid of a ghost?
Well, I mean, you can call in shaman, priests, whatever. I mean, there's always that that feeling that, you know, you want a little bit of that theater, you know, to create the idea that something's been shut out. But I always get angry when I go on ghost hunts and I have people who, like, want to imitate that midget lady, that little lady from Poltergeist. Yes. And say, go to the light, go to the light. And I always say to the people, I say, hey, what if somebody came up to you and said, go to the bathroom? Well, I don't have to go to the bathroom. No, you go to the bathroom now. Go to the bathroom. And you get all angry. Because I don't need to go to the bathroom. That's what ghosts feel like when you say, go to the light. They don't have to go to the light. They don't have to listen to you. And so usually, I mean, if you have a ghost, it's either a house ghost, which is haunting an area and probably won't ever leave, or it's a manifestation of something that's within you. Whatever's coming at you comes from within you. And you may be having something that's attached to you that you didn't even know about, and you're manifesting it. That's how poltergeist activity happens, is you have young teenagers, mostly girls, who are going through a lot of, you know, a lot of problems in their lives, and they manifest it in the poltergeist form. So the poltergeists are following teenage girls or teenage boys when they're going through their period of angst.
I love it, in that poltergeist movie when she says, this house is clean, and she walks out like that's until probably my favorite part.
Until that old man shows up with a big black hat, it's like it's all
yeah. Hey, I appreciate you popping on with us. What do you got on your show tonight? 7 p.m. if I'm correct, right?
Yeah, tonight we're talking about the suicide rate. It's being actually inserted into the news now, and a lot of people I don't think are picking up on it, but a lot of people are really feeling bad about what's going on with COVID, and I think it's time to start asking our family members if they're doing okay, because we take for granted that they may be fine. In reality, they may be harboring some very sad and maybe very horrible things in their minds.
Clyde Lewis. All right. Thank you, Clyde. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth statewide.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the bald-faced truth.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.